Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and we've got a massive lineup today.
It's definitely one of those weeks where the scale of the news is a little hard to wrap your head around. We're talking numbers with 42 zeros at the end.
Exactly. Today, we're looking at a major milestone in quantum computing out of China that completely redefines the speed record for specific calculations. We're also unpacking a highly controversial new exploit that bypasses Windows BitLocker encryption.
And later, we'll analyze NVIDIA's $500 million investment in a 170-year-old glass manufacturer to clear a critical bottleneck in AI infrastructure.
Let's get right into it. Our first story today comes from a paper published in the journal Nature on May 13th. Researchers at the University of Science and Technology of China, led by Pan Jianwei and Liu Chaoyang, have unveiled Zhuzhang 4.0. This is a photonic quantum computer that has just shattered existing speed records.
And when we say shattered, we mean it essentially breaks the scale of classical computing comparisons. They ran a specific task called Gaussian boson sampling. Zhuzhang 4.0 completed this calculation in 25 microseconds.
To put that 25 microseconds into context, the researchers estimate that if you tried to run that exact same calculation on El Capitan, which is the massive US supercomputer, it would take more than 10 to the power of 42 years. That is essentially an eternity.
It's a staggering demonstration of what we call quantum advantage. The engineering leap here from their previous iteration is huge. Zhuzhang 3.0, which came out in 2023, could manipulate 255 photons. Zhuzhang 4.0 can manipulate and detect up to 3,050 photons.
That massive increase in photon count is what allows it to solve such a vastly more complex sampling problem. But what I find most fascinating about the Zhuzhang architecture is the physical reality of the machine itself. Unlike the superconducting quantum computers we see from Google or IBM, which require massive dilution refrigerators to cool the chips to near absolute zero, this photonic system operates at room temperature.
Right. Using light rather than superconducting circuits changes the entire infrastructure requirement. But we have to include the massive caveat here. This is not a general-purpose computer. It is a highly specialized machine built to do exactly one thing incredibly well.
Exactly. You can't run a financial model or a protein folding simulation on Zhuzhang 4.0. Gaussian boson sampling is a highly specific mathematical problem that happens to be perfectly suited for proving that a quantum system can outpace a classical one.
Still, it highlights a broader strategic divergence. While U.S. firms are largely betting on superconducting qubits to eventually reach general-purpose fault tolerance, China is heavily investing in these photonic architectures. The question now is what the realistic timeline is to transition this room-temperature photonic technology into practical real-world applications, beyond just benchmark testing.
It's a huge technical hurdle, but proving you can control 3,050 photons simultaneously is a foundational step that nobody else has achieved at this scale.
Moving on to cybersecurity, we have a very messy and highly consequential situation developing around Microsoft's BitLocker encryption.
Right. A security researcher who goes by the aliases Nightmare Eclipse and Chaotic Eclipse has released a proof-of-concept exploit they're calling Yellow Key. This exploit successfully bypasses BitLocker encryption on Windows 11, Windows Server 2022, and Windows Server 2025.
The mechanics of this are wild. It requires physical access to the machine. The attacker places a specially crafted folder named FSTX on a USB drive or the EFI partition. They then boot the machine into the Windows Recovery Environment, or WinRE, and this specific folder structure somehow triggers a command shell that completely bypasses the encryption protections.
And this is where the controversy starts. The researcher is publicly claiming that this vulnerability is so specific and functions so cleanly that it must be an intentional backdoor built by Microsoft. They point out that this vulnerability exists in WinRE, but not in standard Windows.
Other security experts are pushing back hard on the intentional backdoor theory. They're looking at the exploit and describing it as a devastatingly complex bug in how the Windows recovery environment handles NTFS transaction logs. Basically, the system gets confused by the FSTX folder and fails open instead of failing closed.
Whether it's a bug or a backdoor, the exploit is real. Independent researchers, including well-known figures like Kevin Beaumont and Will Dorman, have tested YellowKey and confirmed that it is fully reproducible.
Which is terrifying for anyone relying on standard BitLocker configurations for hardware security. If a laptop gets stolen, the thief just needs a USB drive to get past the encryption. It completely changes the risk profile for enterprise deployments unless they are using secondary mitigations like BIOS passwords or pre-boot pins.
There's also a dramatic backstory here. Nightmare Eclipse didn't just quietly drop this exploit. They are actively engaged in a public retaliatory campaign against Microsoft. This whole release stems from a dispute over how Microsoft handled their previous submissions to the bug bounty program.
It's a classic case of the strained relationship between independent researchers and mega vendors. When bounty disputes boil over, zero days get burned publicly, and enterprise IT teams are the ones left scrambling to patch recovery environments.
For our final deep dive, let's look at the physical infrastructure of the AI boom. On May 6th, NVIDIA announced a massive multi-year partnership with Corning, the 170-year-old glass manufacturer.
When you think of Corning, you probably think of Pyrex dishes or the Gorilla Glass on your smartphone. But they are also a foundational supplier of high-speed fiber optic cables. And right now, optical connectivity is one of the biggest bottlenecks in AI data centers.
Exactly. These massive GPU clusters training frontier models require data transmission speeds that traditional copper wiring simply cannot handle without melting or losing signal. NVIDIA realizes that if they want to sell more AI chips, the data centers buying them need the optical infrastructure to wire them together.
So NVIDIA is stepping in to guarantee that supply chain. They have taken a $500 million stake in Corning via pre-funded warrants. And it doesn't stop there. NVIDIA actually holds an option to invest up to $2.7 billion in total, which includes warrants to purchase 15 million shares at $180 per share.
That cash injection is funding a massive expansion of domestic manufacturing. Corning is going to build three new facilities across North Carolina and Texas. Their stated goal is to increase U.S. optical connectivity production by tenfold and overall optical fiber production by 50%.
A tenfold increase in connectivity production is staggering. It's the ultimate picks and shovels play. Everyone is focused on the chips, but the physical reality of these AI factories requires immense amounts of specialized glass, power routing, and cooling.
It's also a big bet on sustained demand. Corning stock has been highly volatile, with a 52-week range swinging from around $47 all the way up to over $211. They are scaling up capacity enormously based on the assumption that hyperscalers will keep buying and building at this pace for years.
If the AI boom cools, Corning could be left with a massive oversupply of optical fiber and three brand new, very expensive factories. But with NVIDIA directly underwriting the expansion, the risk is at least shared with the company driving the demand in the first place.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up the show.
Sounds good. Let's do the roundup.
First up, a new tool on crates.io called ZeroStack. It's an AI coding agent written entirely in Rust, and it's tiny. The binary is just 8.9 megabytes, and it only uses about 8 to 12 megabytes of RAM during active use.
That's a huge contrast to the heavy JavaScript and TypeScript-based agents we usually see. It supports multiple LLMs like Anthropic and Llama, and has a great four-mode permission system ranging from restrictive all the way to YOLO.
Speaking of quantum, a UK startup called Moth and electronic artist Isla have released Recurse, billed as the first commercially available track created using quantum-powered generative AI. What's interesting is the ethics angle. They used quantum reservoir computing on hardware from German startup IQM to train the system exclusively on the artist's own original samples, avoiding the massive, unauthorized data scraping we see with tools like Suno. A great blog post this week from Frederick Van Brabant, arguing that AI won't inherently speed up software development processes. He points out that execution speed isn't usually the bottleneck.
Right. Drawing on manufacturing principles from The Goal, he argues the real bottleneck is the quality and completeness of input specifications. AI just shifts the burden upstream to domain experts who now have to write hyper-detailed prompts.
Over on the Anthropic GitHub, there's a highly requested feature for the Claude Code VS Code extension. Users want passive UI feedback showing whether they are currently using Sonnet or Opus.
It's a classic hidden cost issue. Right now, you have to run a terminal command to check, and developers are accidentally running long agentic sessions on the much more expensive Opus model because they forgot to switch back. A. Finally, Mozilla has published a strong blog post pushing back against UK regulators who are considering age-gating or restricting VPNs under the new Online Safety Act. The government is worried minors are using VPNs to bypass age verification on websites. Mozilla, along with Proton and the Tor Project, are warning that breaking VPNs is a blunt instrument that will compromise security and privacy for the entire population. And that is all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on the Noracast Tech Briefing.
We'll be back tomorrow with more tech news and analysis. Until then, stay curious.